let me see, there was Roland or Lothabau or something like that, and there was Kurt Smith as well. He was the pretty one, wasn't he? And by all accounts, he was the one that did all the singing originally, but then old Roland took over, as I've just been told, because our guest today has been to see Tears for Fears in the last couple of weeks, live. Yes. So good afternoon, Danny.
Hi, how are you? All right.
Do you prefer Danny or Dan?
No, Danny.
Danny, right.
Definitely Danny.
Okay, so you went to see Tears for Fears?
Yes, yeah, and they were phenomenal.
Were they?
Yeah. Roland's voice live was on a different scale. I was blown away by how good he was singing live.
They all get better, don't they? If they're talented, yeah. they all get better with age. And that song came out in 1982. And it was a top 10 hit. And I don't think it was the first one, wasn't it? It was Mad World.
Mad World, yeah.
Which also, 1982 as well. What a great year. And they've had a few hits since then, but a new album came out about 18 months ago, which was really, really good. But never charted. Not really.
No, they played a couple of those songs, but it was the big hits that they played, and they were, like I say, phenomenal. So,
hey, look, Danny's in from... Well, you are Fit Mindset, aren't you?
I am. Fit Mindset Code, yep.
Is that that's yours? No one else's?
Yes, that's mine, yeah.
You look after it? There's no other members of the team or anything like that?
No. My wife can help, because she's a nurse, but for anything like a blood glucose test or something like that, but generally it's me, yeah.
Okay. Well, you came in and we had like an introductory 10 minutes.
Yes.
What we'll do is we'll just recap, tell us what it is, first of all.
Okay, the Fit Mindset Code is set out to hopefully educate people and specifically men in their middle ages with regard to nutritional choices, changing mindset, getting themselves healthier and fitter, and basically looking at a more a holistic approach to health and well-being.
And let's be honest, we all need a little bit of help. And you notice that you focused on the men there. We're not quite so good at it, are we, as the ladies, for some reason?
Yeah.
Because we put things off.
Yeah, and we tend to make a decision to go on a fitness journey and get ourselves fit because we don't like the way we kind of look or feel, and we have no idea what we're doing. So we decide to juice some cabbage and go running and do, park run. So, yeah, my kind of basis for the business was really to educate people through what I've learned over the last sort of 3.5 years through going through that exact journey to get fit for my 50th birthday. A lot of people have asked me about how I did it, what I, use with regard to nutrition and supplements and that sort of thing, my exercise regime. So I thought, well, if people are asking me about it and getting inspired about what I did, then perhaps there's a business case. And it turns out there is. So.
Good. Excellent. And as I say, when it comes down to it, when we get to that certain age, when things, start to happen, if we don't look after ourselves, then they're going to happen much quicker.
They are, yeah. It's a slippery slope.
It is a slippery slope. And I remember four years ago being told, you've got to change your lifestyle. And we did for a period of time.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a great one for diets. Is it a diet?
No.
Good. Because I just believe that you've got to be able to do this and sustain it.
Yeah, it's a... The approach that I take, it's a lifestyle change, and that's based around not just your nutrition, but your exercise and activity regime, and that can be in any form. It doesn't have to be the gym. It can be anything, through kayaking or going walking or anything like that, and just improving your activity levels, your nutritional choices, because one thing that I've found is that hormones, especially in our middle ages, hormones are very important, especially for middle-aged men, testosterone being the key one. And our hormones are driven by our emotional state, and our emotional state is driven by our hormones, and both of those are affected by what we eat. So if we can get our decision-making right with regard to our nutritional choices and our nutritional plan, and it's not a diet, then we're in a much better place to be in a healthy mental state and have good mind health.
So just say, for instance, when you get to, say my age, other people's ages, they might have a similar problem when it comes down to sleeping and things like that. Should you be able to sleep better?
One of the things, along with a number of other factors that I kind of, discovered during my Get Fit for 50 journey, was that I was looking at my aesthetics, the way that I looked, and that a lot of other things improved just just by me actually trying to get myself fitter and healthier and eating better. My sleep then improved. I was not a very good sleeper. I would have said I was a self-confessed insomniac. Struggled to sleep on a, you know, on a regular basis for a good sort of 7 hours. But once I started exercising and eating better, then my sleep improved. And then because my sleep improved, my energy levels improved. That was better for my hormone balance. Then my decision making improved. I found sticking to the regime that I put in front of me easier because I had more energy and more mental focus and more clarity with regard to my working day. And so the holistic improvements and gains were far beyond what I originally set out to achieve.
Okay, sleeping for me is a problem. Right. And there are days when I've got plenty of energy and there are days when I just feel sluggish and so on. It's probably to do with the sleep, but it also could be to do with you know, the food that I'm eating.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that we should start this this thing that's going to happen now.
Yes.
I've walked into your office for the first time and you've already sized me up. If you pardon the expression.
Yeah.
So what, and we'll find out whether or not I'm the average sort of 53-year-old, whether or not I've got a bit of work to do or not. I'm pretty sure we've all got work to do on ourselves.
Yeah, I would never call you average, Ian.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm hoping I'm kind of average.
Okay, yeah. No, I get your point, yeah. So if you walked into my office for the first time and we sat down and we had the sort of the first hour consultation, one of the things that I get you to do is effectively fill out a form for me. And it's not just about your age and your weight and your, you know, your height and your name and those sort of things. It's to look at how you function as a human being on a sort of regular basis. So your food choices, your habits, the work that you do, how active you are at work, your mentality and your mindset towards exercise, and looking at your habits, both good habits and bad habits, and then getting it so I can get a full rounded picture of you as an individual and your own sort of philosophy with regard to how you see your life from a health and well-being perspective, and that gives me a good starting point. And then we take a period of time where I'm a numbers man, so I like data. So if I can start with data first of all,
right,
then I can adjust the data to the outcome that we want. So we look at a starting point holistically for you. Then I get you to track what you're eating and what you're doing over a 2-week period without making any changes at all. So I'm not going to say get on this diet straight away, start, you know, juicing cabbage or whatever. You do exactly what you're doing now for 2 weeks.
Right.
You then record everything that you've consumed and everything you do from an activity level, and how much sleep you're getting and that sort of thing. And then after 2 weeks, then we've got a really good picture of how you see yourself, and then the actual numbers with regard to what you're consuming and what you're doing. Then we look at putting a destination. One of the best analogies that I use for the process of the Fit Mindset Code is that if you were going on holiday in the summer, you and your wife would sit down, you would look at a brochure or something online, you would then book a hotel, you would then get flights either with the package, you would know what day you were leaving, where you were going, all the transfers, what clothes you were taking, how long you were staying for, what you'd do during your holiday, what day you're leaving and what day you're going to be back on the Isle of Wight.
Right.
Your fitness journey for where you want to get to is exactly the same. You've got to know where you're starting and where you're ending up and hopefully what you're doing during that journey. So we start with the starting point, and then we start putting the building blocks towards getting you to your destination, whatever that might be. Some people want to get bigger and stronger and put more muscle on. Other people just want to lose weight. Other people just want to be in a more healthier outlook perspective and change habits and those sort of things. So it's really down to the individual.
Okay. Well, where I want to be is I am roughly around 13 stone.
Okay.
I would like to be a stone lighter, but lose it all around the middle.
Right. Spot reducing is not something we can do.
Okay.
It's one of those industry fallacies, and if you hear anybody that says, you know, this diet or this exercise or this electric band that you can buy online will actually reduce your belly fat, then they're lying, because you're genetically predisposed body fat in a certain order, and there's nothing.
Right.
So if you are like me personally, the last bit that I lose is my love handles that just on my hips at the back.
Right.
That's the last bit of fat that I would lose from a subcutaneous perspective.
Right.
And some people it's behind, the back of their arms. Some people it's the belly button. Generally, middle-aged men, it's going to be around the middle. That's where we put it on, and that's the last place it's going to go. So.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So a bit of effort then.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Right. Okay. Well, I don't mind a bit of effort. What sort of questions are we asking? Can we fill this in on air?
Yeah. Let me.
You ask away, and I'll be okay. Completely honest with you.
Okay, I'll go straight from the form. So first of all,
off mic. There.
Sorry, the obvious one to start with is your name, height, weight, and gender, and then I get my clients to put down a statement because you need to start from a point of why you want to do this.
Right.
So then I get them to sort of refer back to this. At times when they struggle, when they're struggling with to kind of change the habits and carry on with the journey, then I refer them back to the why. Now, some people it might be for a competition or a wedding or their holiday or just because of the fact that their doctors told them that they need to lose weight and reduce their blood pressure and that sort of thing. So there's going to be a why you want to do it, and the why has to be something quite strong and very personal.
Is that like motivation?
Yeah, exactly. It's your, you've come to me because you have a strong motivation. At times when you are struggling to commit to that, 3 months down the line, then we need to refer to your why. And then that gives you a springboard then to say, yeah, this is why I started. This is why it's going to be worth it. The old adage, it's not going to be easy, but it will be worth it. And you have to kind of use that as motivation in times when you're struggling to commit to it.
Okay, well, I'm 53, I'm 5 foot 9, I'm 13 stone.
Okay.
The reasons are I want to be healthy so I can live longer.
Okay.
And that's a pretty good reason.
That's quite a good reason.
And the reason why it's as easy as that is because 4 years ago my doctor said to me, how important, this is his exact term of phrase, how important is living to you?
Right. I would put that down on the form. Yeah. Put that exact phrase, that catchphrase, how important is it?
Because it stayed with me.
Yeah.
It really has.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I went home and drank lots, ate lots, and thought, what do you know? must have put on another stone over the weekend, and then thought, I've got to do something.
Yeah.
And did something for about 2 years, lost a bit of weight, put some of it, just a very, half a stone back on that I shouldn't have done. Mm. And, I've lapsed.
Right.
And I've probably... And if I was to go through what I eat and drink per day, some of it is good, I think, and some of it is, whoa, that's really too much.
Yeah.
We do have probably meals when it comes down to it, meals that are a lot smaller than they used to be, and they're probably fairly healthy. We do a lot of stir fries using the right stuff.
Yeah.
But then other days we'll have fish and chips, which is probably not a good thing. I have curries as well. I like a curry. Most of it, I'm guessing, is fairly healthy. My wife uses mostly healthy stuff.
That's good. That's a good start.
But then, maybe I'll have too much of it because it's so nice.
Yeah.
And then I'll have a big bag of crisps and only at the weekends.
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday, crisps and alcohol. The alcohol thing... Yeah, make my own beer, and I probably, over the course of a weekend, because sometimes when you say, oh, it's the weekend, it's like Friday, Saturday and Sunday, and there is a little bit in my mind saying, well, why don't you just draw back and say, like just have 2 days, because Saturday and Sunday is the weekend.
Yeah.
But then Friday is a day when you finish work and you think, oh, I'd love a pint now. but no more than 2 pints.
Okay.
But that's when that's when it gets interesting. You might have 3 shorts.
Yeah.
And that's probably the problem. And the other thing is when you, because I say to my wife sometimes, it'd be great if we didn't. We just just went through the same and not had any alcohol at all, or only had it at special occasions. But then you sort of, what's the difference between Monday to Friday and have something special? It's finding that drink that you can have that's non-alcoholic, that's different from Monday to Friday.
Right.
And we struggle with that. Okay. That's the one thing we struggle with. During the course of the week, Monday to Thursday, I will also, after, because we come to drinking, other drinking habits as well, not alcohol, but teas, coffees, that sort of thing. Yes. But once a day, 4 days a week, Monday to Thursday, I will have, because what I do, we got one of these things, it's not like a smoothie thing, it's you chuck it all in, blend it, drink it.
Yeah, a juicer.
And it's not because you drink the whole thing. Right. It's the whole thing that we do, which is, you know, we'll have at the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we will have a carton of yogurt mixed with some frozen fruit, some fresh fruit, mix it all up, make it into a drink. Mm. And equally, if I get a load of lemons at the beginning of the week, I will put it into this thing to make it into like a juicy type thing, and then freeze it into ice cubes and make that into drinks later on in the week. We'll have one of those every day after our tea.
Right.
Now, I sometimes think, is it the best time to have it after your tea? Would it be better to have it in? And I'm guessing you'll tell me in a minute the best times to have these things. You might be doing all the right things, but all in the wrong order.
The people get too bound up with timings. Apart from the kind of when you're asleep and when you're awake, yeah, your body really doesn't care what you're consuming or what timing there are associated with what you're consuming. The old adage, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, is absolute rubbish, in my opinion. Now, a lot of people may argue with that. I do a lot of intermittent fasting, and I quite enjoy not having any food for a significant period of the day. I feel more alert and more awake by not having a heavy breakfast. There are some days where I will have a breakfast, but other days, I'll fast, and I had done 24-hour fasts, and I've felt amazing for it. I haven't starved to death. I've actually felt better. So food timings, in my mind, is a fallacy. The key component is, without getting too technical on the chemical reaction inside your body with your hormones, which is important, but in basic simple terms, it's calories in versus calories out. So your holistic health is governed by your food choices. Your weight gain, or more specifically your fat gain, because weight and fat are different, your weight gain or your weight loss and your fat loss are governed by the amount of calories you consume on a daily basis over a period of time. So having a large chocolate cake in one day is not going to put the equal amount of fat on your body. It will only put on fat and additional weight if that is then continued on a regular basis and you are continually overeating. Right. From your caloric requirement. So calories in versus calories out is the basic equation, and then your own metabolism is governed by your hormones. So how quickly you are predisposed to lay down fat, and how your blood sugar is affected by what you're consuming, it is more of an individual thing. Some people are more predisposed to it than others. The body types, the metamorph and the ectomorph, etc. So
okay, all right. I also going back to the lemon, the frozen lemon with the ginger. I put ginger in it as well because I'm thinking, that must be healthy, isn't it? Surely. So have one of those. I mean, I say some of this is really like, well, that's why have you got a problem? Well, I don't have a huge problem, but I don't feel the healthiest.
Yeah,
and that's probably because I do overeat. I do eat a lot of peanuts.
Peanuts are good.
Salty peanuts? Or?
Yeah. There are people get very bound up with this, it's got added salt. If you have salt on peanuts, that's not a significant amount of salt.
Right.
You look at the salt that's in some processed foods, you would not be able to believe the dessert spoonfuls of salt that they're putting in the food.
Right.
Whereas having a little sprinkle of salt on your peanuts or a little bit of sprinkled, table salt on your dinner is not really, it's actually probably not, it's actually quite good for you. So to increase your levels of salt is good. So,
well, I don't have extra salt on my meals.
Yeah.
I used to have loads and now I don't.
Yeah.
Breakfast. So if I talk you through a basic day, I will wake up in the morning. My wife will put probably about the best part of a pint of water, and she'll put it there the night before, and I won't drink it through the night because I don't want to keep getting up. So I drink it first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Then she'll bring me a coffee. Now, this is the naughty bit. because I have three sugars in my coffee.
Yeah, that's...
Okay, but it's a big coffee. I only have two coffees a day. They're identical.
Yeah.
They're the best part of a pint of coffee because they're a really big mug. The reason why this happens is because my wife says I don't drink enough, so there's a glass of water
right.
And there's a great big mug of coffee, but it's got three sugars in. Now, that, I guess that's the equivalent of having, you know, six small coffees with one sugar, which isn't that bad, but you're going to tell me the sugar thing.
The sugar, I'm not going to demonise sugar because, again, it's the number. You know, the calories in versus calories out is the bigger answer to it. But then it's about your food choices to make up your calories that you're consuming. So if you're consuming a huge amount of sugar, and again, people misunderstand sugar. There's cane sugar, which is simple sugars, and you've got complex carbohydrates, which your body turns to sugar.
Right.
So if you're eating porridge in the morning and you're putting sugar on it, and then you eat porridge in the morning and you don't put your sugar on it, you're still eating effectively sugar. Your body turns it into glucose and glycogen and uses it for energy. The simple sugars just go through the system quicker. So the answer with regard to a sustainable nutritional plan is choose foods that you like, and if there's some no-goes areas where you absolutely have to have them because that's you want to enjoy life, it's not punishment, it's a lifestyle, then we can include those in your nutritional plan. We just need to know what the caloric number is, and then we make an adjustment based on the food choices that you want to make. So if you want a pint, you know, on a Friday night, or two pints on a Friday night, we find out what the calories are in that beer or that lager,
right.
And then we include it in your caloric plan so that you're not consuming more than you're burning. Because if you consume more than you burn, you will put on weight and put on fat.
Okay.
So, you know, that's the equation. And then it's down to your personal choice on what makes up that caloric number.
Okay. So I've got up. Breakfast is ready.
Yeah.
Half a tin of beans.
Okay.
And a sausage.
Okay.
Sliced up, done in the microwave.
Right.
All right. I don't have any lunch apart from a banana.
Right.
But I have my coffee with another three sugars.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, then I'll have my tea, 5:15 on the dot.
Yeah.
And generally it's fairly healthy. There'll be, you know, veg of sorts. It could be a stir fry. Every now and again, it might be a quick meal, frozen fish and chips in the oven, very, very rarely. Generally, it's meat, three veg.
Right.
So we're fairly healthy. During the week, we don't generally eat or pick at things during the evening. You know, we'll have a cup of tea. Again, there's no sugar in my tea, but there is a spoonful of honey, I'm told. I don't make it because I don't normally drink tea. It's a fruit tea.
Yeah, it's still sugar.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Yeah,
right,
honey,
okay.
Sugar, yeah,
you're telling me off now.
It's glucose, yeah.
Then, I say, Monday to Thursday, we won't pick. There'll be nothing else. And then I will have a glass of Bovril, a mug of Bovril. Okay, it's a sachet thing because that's almost a substitute to, I don't know, an alcoholic drink or a cup of tea with sugar in,
right.
And so on. That's it. Monday to Thursday, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
And then Friday, it's pretty much the same thing during the course of the day. But in the evening, we will probably have peanuts, crisps, beer. If it's a really good weekend, it's brandy as well,
right.
Maybe even some rum. And then the same on Saturday mornings, we will wake up and I do the yogurt thing, as I said. So we get half a pint of yogurt each,
yeah.
Mixed with fruit, blended, and so on. And then we'll have bacon and egg roll, two bits of bacon,
right.
And loads of butter.
Nice. Yeah, see, yeah. That you just laughed and smiled at the bacon and eggs and the butter. Yeah?
Feeling naughty.
Yeah. No, that's what I eat.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I have, this might sound nuts, but I have 30 grams of unsalted butter in my coffee every morning.
In your coffee?
Yeah, and that starts my day. Because there's an industry fallacy, in my opinion. Again, this is my opinion on my research, that fat doesn't make you fat. Yeah, and fat has been demonised since the 70s through... Well, we won't go into the history of it, but basically it's about the commercial grain industry that decided it'd be much better to say that breakfast is the most important meal of the day and to eat lots of cereals. And they demonised fat, saying this is what makes people fat. But there's no correlation between eating fat in a caloric deficit and eating carbohydrates in a caloric deficit. You will lose weight in with both scenarios. If you overeat fat and carbohydrates, you will gain weight. So fat doesn't make you fat. Overeating makes you fat. That's right. That's the difference. So fat shouldn't be demonized. I have bacon, eggs, sausages, butter, cheese. Right. I have a diet which most people would say, and a lot of meats as well, chicken and fish and that sort of thing, and steaks. And people would say that that's an unhealthy diet, but it's not. For me, it's a very healthy diet because I'm not, one, I'm not overeating, and two, my blood sugar is completely under control because I don't eat a huge amount of carbohydrate and simple sugars.
Look, we're going to take a break because it'll give me time to sort of soak up butter in coffee.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know it sounds nuts, doesn't it? But it's really nice.
And I also want to ask you about what made you get into this?
Yeah.
What sort of size? Because you look a picture of health now. What sort of size were you before you actually got into it? What triggered it?
Yeah. Well, the size was not probably the biggest issue. The issue was the fact that I had what's classically called as a skinny fat dad bod. So I had no muscle, and my weight was fat. So I couldn't do a press up. I couldn't do a pull up. And my 13, nearly 13 and a half stone of weight was just body fat, basically. So I had to take that back down to being a very lean physique and then try and build back muscle once I'd got rid of all the body fat. So
okay, we'll come to the coffee in a minute.
Yeah.
We'll take a break and okay. We'll come back. How many bits of lard do you want in your coffee?
just the 30 grams, please.
Radio with the community at heart. This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Sprinkling Press are a small, friendly business located in Newport. They produce a diverse collection of bespoke gifts and promotional items which can be personalised to your individual needs. Such items include mugs, coasters, clocks, fridge magnets, keyrings, t-shirts and more. If you're looking for something special for your business, or perhaps a loved one, or something unique, feel free to contact them to discuss your ideas on 07527 139575. Check out their customer reviews on their Facebook page or visit their website. Print the number 2 impressiow.co.uk. They accept all major debit and credit cards, so why not visit them today?
The White Military and Heritage Museum in Northwood. The museum will excite your senses and immerse you in a world of human success over adversity. Call 01983 300037 for more details or to book your ride.
Are your staff struggling to find the energy to push your business onto the next level? Would a more energized, focused and happier workforce benefit your business? Then you need the Fit Mindset Code. We provide business-specific health, fitness and well-being courses designed around your business needs. Contact us on 07966 070 636 or visit the website on www.thefitmindsetcode.com. Energize your business potential. It's all in the mindset.
This is an urgent appeal from the Disasters Emergency Committee. Cyclone Idai has swept through Mozambique, Malawi, and Zimbabwe, leaving behind a trail of destruction, killing hundreds of people and affecting millions more. People need help now. To help, call 0370 60 60 610, search DEC or text radio to 70000 to give £5. Thank you.
My time at Vectis Radio has taught me many skills that will help me throughout life. They have taught me to take time and care into how I present myself to people so I don't miss opportunities. And they have boosted my confidence, which allows me to stand out more from the crowd. They reinforced the knowledge to organise necessary materials before any event and to think ahead so you don't get caught off guard. Ultimately, this has been a fantastic opportunity to learn crucial life skills and has helped to make me feel more comfortable in a professional environment. If you want to get involved and try it for yourself, then check out the 4Ps website, that is 4ps.org.uk.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the island's local station.
The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. PC Consultants, an award-winning company celebrating 25 years in business.
Brothers crying in the rain. It's 20 to 1. This is Vectis Radio. We've got special guests in the studio. We've got Danny Stimpson in from the Fit Mind Code. And we took a break because I was just in overload with the fact that you have coffee every morning and you put, was it
30 grams of unsalted butter in it? Yeah.
And it does work. It's nice.
It's lovely. Yeah, I love it.
And the reason for doing it is
the science behind it is that energy levels that you get from fat is nearly twice what you get from sugar. So 1 gram of fat is 9 calories and 1 gram of carbohydrate is 4 calories. So if you're burning fat, you get a much higher level of energy from each gram of food that you're consuming. It's like rocket fuel. So
okay.
And rocket fuel for your brain. So
all right. So out of all the things that I've told you so far that I do, and I think that's pretty much it. I've been pretty honest.
Okay.
How are we looking so far?
There's some key markers with regard to your alcohol intake, because alcohol, they're called hollow calories. So your body reacts to alcohol the same as it would do to increases in your blood sugar levels, except you don't have any of the energy aspects to it. So your body thinks it's got sugar in the blood. That's why, you know, the police will test your blood for alcohol level, because the markers are the same. But you don't get any kind of caloric benefit from it. But the sugar, and especially how the alcohol goes through your liver, creates more body fat than you desire, because the alcohol will be dumped into the liver. It then gets turned into fat deposits around your middle. That's why middle-aged men who drink a lot of beer have a beer belly, because that's where the fatty deposits from your liver will end up, around your middle.
Right.
So the beer belly is not a fallacy. It's actually absolutely true. So we need to reduce the amount of alcohol you're consuming. It doesn't mean you have to cut it out completely. We just have to make it a more manageable amount. With that, the amount of white cane sugar that you consume needs to probably be reduced. And there are ways and means of doing that with, replacement with some sweeteners. But then once we've got your caloric number, what your calories in versus calories out number is, your maintenance level, so where there's no weight gain or weight loss, then we can set the calories to a level where you're going to lose the stone of weight that you want to lose.
Yeah.
And we do it over a sustained period of time. So if we want to lose 1 pound of body fat per week, then we need to reduce your calories by about 500 calories a day, because 3,500 calories would equal 1 pound of body fat loss.
Okay, This, you sitting down, and this is what's lovely. This is the first session.
Yep.
People are listening to this and thinking, right, okay, I can make a difference. If not, they can get in touch with you,
yep,
find out more details, and so on and so forth. But now I'm sat here, and I'm not just saying it because you're sat there. It's been explained. It makes common sense.
Yeah,
and yeah, there are programs that you kind of, you know, there was Inchloss Island, I think there was a program, yeah, and they were talking about sugar and stuff like that. And I kind of lose interest in those kind of things. When somebody's sitting down to you, like you have just done, and explained it without making me sound like an idiot, you've done it in such a way that is, you know, you're not talking down to me, you're actually just talking on the same level. And I'm intrigued and I'm interested, and I'm now thinking, right, okay, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. You know, I'm thinking, well, if we start drinking, because the joke is in our house, it's 7 o'clock, come on, time for a drink. Let's move it, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Still go to bed at the same time, you just start drinking later.
Yeah, I mean, if you took one of your pints of beer out on a Friday evening,
yeah,
you're probably going to be reducing your calorie intake by maybe 250 calories. If you've got to reduce your calories by 500 calories a day, once we know what your maintenance level is, you're halfway there just by taking one of your beers out, potentially.
You know? Okay, which so, you know, again, you're not actually saying don't drink beer.
No.
You're actually saying just cut it down.
Yeah, everything in moderation is manageable, and like I said at the beginning, this isn't a punishment. You're not punishing yourself. You're actually doing yourself a favour. So why should it be hard?
Yeah.
You've got to make it so it's sustainable. If you go on to the issue I have with fad crash diets is they're short-term fixes which don't deal with the long-term issue. So it has to be over a sustained period of time. Now, if I told you at the beginning we're going to be doing this for at least 6 months before you will probably see a massive benefit, that's a reasonable amount of time. If I said you're going to lose, you know, a stone in 3 weeks because I'm going to put you on a, you know, juicing cabbage diet, you know, that doesn't help you from a psychological point of view, because you will only just go back onto your old habits once you've reached your goal after 3 weeks. We need to get it as a habit so it becomes a lifestyle change. And the only way you do that is over a long period of time.
You're not going to make me eat cabbage juice, are
no,
you?
No, absolutely not.
That's
no,
all right.
No. I like cabbage, but not juiced.
I like cabbage raw.
Yeah, yeah, no, cabbage
to me,
is lovely.
To
yeah,
me, summertime is the best time, because you have all those things and you have it all raw. You don't cook the life out of it and so on.
Yeah, I love old salads, you know. I eat a lot of my food cold, you know, so I love salads and that sort of thing. So
we should point out that because we talked about this while we were listening to a song in a commercial break, that there's a lot of people that are either borderline diabetic now,
yeah,
or they have the full-on diabetes.
Yep.
And I was diagnosed 4 years ago with pre, and I think you said you were as well.
Yeah.
And the only way to do something about that is to change your lifestyle.
Yeah, yes. It's type 2 diabetes. I can't talk about type 1 because that's a slightly different medical situation. But type 2 diabetes, I'm a firm believer that it can be reversed through diet and lifestyle changes. And especially if you're pre-diabetic, then making those changes, you know, at this point are crucial for improving your long-term health. And as you said, you know, how long do you want to live for? Because the benefits from making a nutritional change to reverse pre-diabetic situation are, you know, exponential. You'll find the other improvements in your life will be far outweighed just the, you know, from a reduction in your blood sugar levels. So.
Okay, well, 4 years ago I had something. I was something like 8.2. I think I told you this last time I was in, because I went home and I boasted to the wife. I said, "No, I'm only 2.8 or perfect 10. And she said, "No, Ian, it don't work like that."
Yeah.
Anyway, since then, I have worked on it. And the last time I was tested, which was very late last year, I was at 5.4.
Yeah, that's more manageable. Yeah, okay, still on the...
It is, because...
The lower end of high.
They say you should be 5.3.
Yeah.
And the doctor wanted to speak to me. Mm-hmm. And I said, look, I'm making progress. I've gone from 8.2 to 5.4. Don't give me a hard time over that 0.1.
Yeah.
You know, so I am making progress. And he's insisted on, I think it would be later this year, I think in November time, I then have to go back in and have another blood test and another just to see where we are.
Yep.
So, and he said, you basically, it takes quite some time to bring it down.
It does, yeah.
You don't just do it in a couple of weeks. You have to have something in place that brings it down. So now is the perfect time to do it. Obviously, I don't think people realise just how dangerous it is,
yeah.
How to be so close, because obviously that brings on... You're then at risk of heart attacks, strokes, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And if you're 53 as well, and you don't exercise much, which we'll come on to in a minute, because we can do all of that, but to accompany it, we must do some kind of exercise as well.
Yeah, again, from a holistic approach to your then having a strong, healthy pair of lungs and a heart is important. Now, there has to be a distinction between weight loss and fitness. Now, if you want just lose weight, yeah, then huge amounts of cardio will help. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be healthy for you just to go and pound the streets or sit on a rowing machine or a running machine. It has to be proportionate to your long-term goals. The approach that I look at is that it's got to fit with your lifestyle.
Yeah.
So we can find exercise in various different ways, taking the stairs instead of the lift sort of stuff, walking to the shops instead of driving, and you can just increase the amount of heart health and your VO2 capacity just by changing your lifestyle. You don't have to, join up and go running four times a week and try and kill yourself that way. me personally, I don't do any cardio at all. Over and above moving about, I go to the gym and I do resistance training with weights, and I get my heart healthy by doing that, because I get my heart rate up and then drop it and heart rate up. So I manage it that way. One, because I have a bad knee from a football injury, which means running on the treadmill or on the streets, pounding the streets is actually quite painful for me. So I kind of avoid that. But that fits with my lifestyle to use the gym in that way as opposed to the treadmill.
Okay, you're going to come back in the future, and we're going to go through, I'm guessing, modules. So over the coming months,
yep.
And so this is just this hour is just a basic discussion. I don't like to say it's all about me, but these are all my details, and at the end of it, you're going to tell me, or the next stage is what we need to do,
yep.
To change things. Now, yep. We talked about my age, my height, my weight, how much I drink, and how much I eat and what I eat. Exercise wise, I do very little. I find myself sat down most of the time because of the job that I do. But having said that, I about 4 years ago, we got these contraptions that we walk around and we work out how many steps we're actually taking.
Yeah.
And I try and do in excess of 10,000 steps.
Yeah.
I will probably do on the way to work, walk to work, walk back. That's probably around sort of 4,500 steps. And then after we've had our evening meal, we will go out for a walk and top it up to over 10,000 steps, sometimes more. I do and have got into the habit of, there was this thing that I used to do up until very recently, the plank. Have you ever done the plank?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All you do is just end up with sore elbows.
Yeah.
So I gave that up, and a bad back.
Yeah.
And now I do. I mean, just sort of, I've got one of those Wonder Core things.
Right.
And I do 5 minutes of sit-ups.
You know, I said you weren't Mr. Average. I'm actually changing my opinion. You are Mr. Average, because you've bought all the equipment and doing all the things for your midriff and your abs that most people or most middle-aged men want. I mean, abs is one of those things that a lot of people ask me about. How do I get, if you go onto my Instagram page, you can see that I got reasonably good results with regard to my physique and especially my abdominals through the regime that I went through. And I didn't do any sit-ups or planks or any crunches or leg raises or anything like that. Without being too blunt about it, everybody's born with abs. You have to have them because it's part of your muscular structure. Everybody has them. You don't get them. You reveal them through diet and nutrition and reducing your calories so that your body fat and then your belly fat are reduced. And then you will reveal genetically how your abdominals are set up because you don't get them. You reveal them, basically. Doing planks won't give you abs.
I've worked that out.
And I see a lot of men in the gym doing crunches and leg raises and stuff with rather large middles, and I want to kind of tell them, you're wasting your time. You need to change your nutritional intake, reduce your calories,
okay,
and then in 6 months' time you probably might be wise to do some crunches to make your abs stronger, because that's all you're going to do, is you're going to make your middle stronger. So
I'd rather you be completely honest. I'll take the one core thing away then.
Yeah, I would.
And I do it's not just doing a case of sit-ups. I do put the arm movements in as well. I'm really going for it.
Again, I mean, I don't want to demonise doing sit-ups and press-ups and those sort of things, because they're good for resistance training. They will work your muscles and they will burn calories, and they will raise your heart rate, and you will become fitter and stronger for doing that. But if you specifically want to lose belly fat and body fat, then the only way you do it is get yourself into a caloric deficit. You know, you can't, you know, out crunch a bad diet.
What was that? Caloric deficit.
Yes.
Just talk us through that again.
So calories in versus calories out. This is the biggest thing that I preach to anybody, is calories in versus calories out. So put yourself into a caloric deficit,
right,
which is consuming less than you burn. Based on your metabolism, and the system that I go through works out where your flat line is, where your maintenance level is, so you're not gaining weight, you're not losing weight, and then we reduce your calories to hopefully then make you start losing your body fat. And weight loss and fat loss are very different as well, so people get confused. That's why fad diets are so impressive for everybody, because the first 2 weeks they go, I've lost 10 pounds. Most cases that's probably what you've eaten, because you've changed what you've eaten, so therefore you're going to the loo more, and your water that you hold within your muscles and within your, you know, within your body. So whether that's
it slows right down the week after.
Your wee, or what's held in your muscles, So, and then after 2 weeks, they're not getting so much impressive results. The 10 pounds is now going to a pound or half a pound, because now you're looking at body fat and not body weight.
Okay. You know? Look, we're running out of time.
Right.
So before we finish up, I just want you to get your... You mentioned Instagram. How do we check you out on Instagram?
Yeah, at... Fit Mindset Code is Instagram and Facebook page. www.thefitmindsetcode.com is the website. And you can contact me, private message through any of those, email through the website, if anybody wants to take the same challenge as you have.
Yeah. Okay, well it's definitely on. The only awkward thing is trying to convince my wife for you to come around and chuck stuff out from her cupboard.
Oh, did you like that bit on the email? That was going to come and rage. Yeah. It's part of the process. So.
She said, you get him to come around and try. All right, so we might have to do it when she's out.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it sounds like your wife actually has a good handle on good, wholesome food, because that's what I promote. There's no fad diet. There's no magic food which is going to make you thin. It's about real whole food, sensible portion amounts, so that you're in a caloric deficit. If your grandma could make it, it's probably going to be all right. If you couldn't find, I give people a test, go to the supermarket, pick out any packet, look at the ingredients, and then go and try and find those ingredients in the supermarket.
Right.
If you can't find E70634, then you probably don't want to consume it.
That's a good thing. That's a good point. That is a good point. Hey, look, just give a website as well. Give us all those details.
Yeah, www.thefitmindsetcode.com, and then at fitmindsetcode on Instagram and Facebook.
Okay, now this was the consultation.
Yeah.
What's the next stage?
The next stage is once we've got your numbers for a two. So what I need you to do now is track your calories, your food intake, everything you eat and drink for 2 weeks. One of the fit pals, I use one called Fat Secret, which is just an app that you can download, put it onto your phone or your iPad, and then you track basically what you're eating morning, noon and night, and then that will give you all the macro splits, so your protein, your fat and your carbs, the proportions that you're eating, and then it will give you your caloric intake number, so how much you're consuming, and then we can adjust that number based by taking out some of the food, reducing the portion sizes, making the decisions and your choices better.
Okay, then we'll do all of that, and then you'll come back in about 4 weeks' time.
I can come back. Yeah, two weeks. Yeah, give me 2 weeks. Well, if you want to commit to 2 weeks of tracking your food, or if you need a month to be able to get 2 weeks in, then that's fine.
Give me a month, because you've got Easter in the way as well. I'm thinking, you know, because we've already said that we're not going to have any alcohol until Easter.
Right.
We're going to do our best. Yeah. And then, you know, if we could substitute.
Should I get hard with you now. We've got to make reasons, not excuses. That's one of my catchphrases.
See, now you are getting tough.
Reasons, not excuses.
I'm glad I've got to go.
Easter, Christmas, birthday, wedding, you know. Everybody goes, I can't do it because of this coming up. Yeah.
I know what you mean. So, I bet you bend the rules a bit, though, don't you?
No.
You're going to be a hard taskmaster, so I can see. I really loving the fact that you got involved, and I'm really feeling quite enthused by it as well, and challenged too, because I think we need to set ourselves a challenge.
You do, yeah. It's I'd say it isn't easy, but it's always worth it. And at the end of it, hopefully, we've changed some habits, because it was a holistic approach with some habit changing as well. I like people to, which we'll talk about in one of the other sessions, where I want you to learn something new, so you have something else to focus on. So,
brilliant. We've run out of time.
Yep, cool.
Thank you, Danny Stimpson, from the Fit Mindset Code, and you'll be back in a few weeks' time to see how well we're doing and to take this to the next level. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Vectis Radio, 104.6. The heart.